Hey, everybody. Welcome to the NYC Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I'm also one of the owners of EBMG. We are a multifamily management company for buildings in New York City. And before I get into today's guest, let me just remind you how you can get to the show. If you want to email us, you can do so at nycrealestatepodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's nycrealestatepodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to share this podcast or share the channel. We'd love to get as much exposure as we can. And today we've got a great show. I know we've dealt a lot with consultants and people who are in the industry with local laws and, you know, various vendors. But today we've got Lindsay Liu from Super. She's the co-founder and CEO of Super. Hey, Lindsay.
Hi, nice to be here.
Same. I'm glad that you're here. You know, this is a, we'll go into Super in a second. I'm excited to have you on because it's the first time that I've ever had almost like a cloud-based software platform on the show. And, you know, specifically for our industry, the real estate management side, we don't really see this too often, something that could work for both management and for the building. So I'm excited to hear kind of the backstory. But before we get into that, I know that you've got a lot to talk about. If you want to let everybody at home know who you are, how you got involved with this, what your history is, and I'd love to hear all about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting story. I like to say that I have a very serious side hobby in real estate. So I come from the industry to the industry from the technology side of things. It's been most of my career, you know, 15 plus years on the technology side, both in-house at startups and then also in the consulting and agency world, launching products for other people. But alongside that, for over 10 years, I've been investing in real estate. I got my first go at a brand new self-managed condo. We were six units. And that was kind of the first experience that I had being on a board and just with very, very loose governance in a building. Since then, you know, I think you could say that say something about my pain tolerance, but was on the board of two other condos as well. One managed, another self-managed. And that was kind of, I think, you know, to be honest, the condo board experiences were the ones that broke me. I was like, I can't share walls with other people where I need to make decisions more. And so then started multifamily investing. Also have a couple short-term rental properties outside of New York City that we manage as single family homes as well. So I've kind of done a smattering of different things in the real estate space. And what consistently came to mind was the fact that there's very little technology to serve people with this. I think as a board member specifically, you're just dealing with email. I have a story of like one board that I joined, I literally got a binder handed to me. It was like passing the baton of the binder with the printed out emails from previous board members.
It's insane.
Right. And they're like, here you go, go make some decisions about all the assessments that we have to go, you know, levy on this.
It's like, thanks, 1985, luck. You've returned.
Exactly. It's like, good luck to you, right? I'm out. And so it became pretty obvious that there was a lot of opportunity for technology to just automate and streamline a lot of things. My co-founder, Vika, is somebody that I've known actually since university. We were first roommates when we moved to New York.
Together
for a couple of years. And she's just one of those amazing people in the digital product space, spent a number of years in big tech, creating and, you know, designing and launching some products that I'm pretty sure everyone in the world has used at this point. And so I couldn't think of a better person to kick off this endeavor with. So here we are almost 2 years later.
That's great. And I know we've gone through, when you were in your beta stages, we were talking back and forth, because from a property manager standpoint, my needs are different than maybe a building resident's needs. So it was helpful that we were able to go back and forth with what I value, and, you know, we're seeing some of that in the final product, because we do use it on one of our projects that we manage. And that's been super helpful, and seeing how we can really drive that to do all the things that we're going to talk about, what the service entails. Watching it now as a product has been really helpful. So when did you actually physically launch the final product that came out of the beta testing?
Yeah. So the official launch was the start of this year, for the kind of product that kind of is in market today. We were in beta at the end of last year for a few months with kind of a small of customers. And so it's been almost a year now that we've been out there. And I will say, you know, like for instance, the property that we're working with you on, the feedback has been amazing from these
Right.
users. And we're seeing really good engagement, really good, meaningful feedback as well. And I think, you know, even just thinking back to the early days of what we showed you when we had nothing,
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's evolved quite a bit since then. But there have also been just some core things that feel consistent along the way. I think, you know, some of the things that we've really identified as pain points across the industry is the communication and
Yeah.
collaboration, right? I think that most, you know, I would say most enterprise have internal communication tools. I feel like with property management, a little bit less so. I think, you know, it's like, for instance, for years I've been in organizations that have used Slack for real-time messaging, and we've kind of gotten away from a lot of the email internally there. But you know, for those systems to work, you need 100% adoption. You just can't leave one person.
Right.
They're just not getting anything at that point. And so that's been a really key thing for us, is thinking about how to create a platform that everyone can feel like they can be part of. And so that was really, really pivotal in our in kind of our core decision to say, we want it to work with email, we want it to work with text message. And if you want to log in, you're going to have a great experience as well. But it should work alongside the things that people know how to use already, so that you're not
Yeah.
asking them to change their entire workflow. I think from an adoption perspective, you're just going to make it that much harder for you to get people to be okay with using it if you're saying, and you have to learn this whole new thing as
Yeah.
well.
So let's go through what the service is. And for people that are not, if you're listening to this or watching this, just go to hiresuper.com and that will show you the webpage. Why don't we go through, as a resident, what does it do for me? And then on the other flip side, as a manager or slash board owner of a building, what am I also, what's the handshake there? What am I looking at? What can I do? What does this offer me that maybe other competitors in the market space in that place aren't?
Yeah. So as a resident, I would say the kind of key thing is there's not much that's different for them, right? They can choose to log in if they want to, but ultimately we're seeing that most of the residents are emailing and texting.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they email you today, they probably text and call you today with needs. They don't have to change anything other than the contract address.
Right.
And so that's a really nice thing where you're not having to train them about anything. They've got a problem. The last thing I think someone wants to do when they have a problem is remember a login
Oh yeah.
or
That's the
download an
worst.
app,
Forgot password. Yep.
right? They're like, oh God, I just need to get this thing fixed. There's smoke coming out of my windows. Like, I don't have time for this, right? And so we're trying to just make it that much easier for them, which is you have a problem, shoot off that email as you want. And what happens is on the other side for the board and for the management teams, what we're trying to do is centralize. I think, you know, one thing that we've seen is, and you can probably attest to this, there's hundreds of emails that you're getting a day. There's
Yep.
probably dozens of phone calls and text messages. There might be work orders coming through one separate app that allows for work orders as well. And actually, that kind of makes it worse, right? Because now you have multiple places that you need to look across and multiply that by a portfolio of properties. I know, you know, the average property manager, I don't know about your team, but 8 to 10 properties they might
Yeah,
have.
we're about 7 to 8 for our managers. Yeah,
Yeah.
it could be overwhelming at times. It could be slow at others, but you always have to assume it's going to be overwhelming. That's
Yep.
the
And
rule. Yeah.
so how do you deal with that, right? And I think that's something that I think about is like, how can you empower people to be really good at their jobs by giving them the tools to organize and to prioritize what's going on? It's really difficult to do that when you've got text messages, emails. And I think, you know, with text and email today, when those come in, they're kind of, you're just kind of squashing the fires as they come in, right? It's like, I get an email, I respond to the top thing in my inbox. That's how I prioritize, is the latest
Yeah.
thing in, is the latest thing out. And so creating tools for teams to be able to actually say, how do I take that from an email into something that's actionable, into something that can be dealt with as a project that can involve other people and give them context? That's really what we're setting out to do for the management teams. And we provide boards with the tools to get transparency into what's going on, as well as to help them with governance. I think, one thing I realized as a board member is I must have been a really frustrating board member to some of the property managers we were working with. Like, I didn't know what good governance really looked like at that time, and kind of the role of our decisions, right, in influencing how projects were being handled and the speed of all of it as well. And so, I think there's something else to be said around this is a team effort, right? It really is something that requires everybody to be on the same page. And so I think today what happens in property management is sometimes the boards and the managers are kind of starting on opposite ends of things. And it feels almost like opposing sides of the battle when they should be one team. And so providing them with the collaboration tools to do that effectively is a really big part of that as well.
Yeah, and I think you kind of hit upon a thing when we are managing a lot of properties and there are emergencies that pop up. Board members, we always say, and when we're managing, the managers are always available. But there are times when the managers are out there in the field, they can't be reached, they're dealing with emergencies for other buildings, even though when you're a property, you don't want to hear about other properties. But just know that when you are going to have an emergency, that's when all we focus
You'll
on
be
is
number
you.
one.
Yeah, it goes cyclical and hopefully it doesn't come to that, but it will. But I think this is what you said before, it gives a bit of a top-down view from the board's perspective where they can just log into the platform. And logging in is pretty easy. You just go, you put in your email, it sends you the link to, if you've set it up before, you go in through your email link and you're in. It doesn't require that password. The worst thing
No
is the
password.
password. You put in the password, not to other stuff, not to yours. You put in the password, it says it's the wrong password. So I go, forget password. And then I put in, what would you like to be your new password? And I put that in and I said, no, you can't use that. That's your password. I'm like, what? I just tried to get, it won't let you reset it to what it was in the past. It's like crazy. So taking away a little bit of a friction point is really great. So that they can see what projects are kind of ongoing. I believe you can color code and like change the status of everything. So that's been really helpful. And my office uses probably of like five different tools, this being one of them. We did the test market on this for one of our Brooklyn buildings that we've been working together on. And as you said, they've been happy with it. But I'm interested to see from a long-term perspective the role that it plays on the manager side. We've only been with it probably for about 7 or 8 months, and it's been rolling well. So the workflow is for one building, and then you go into other workflows for others. So as we get more and more into this space, it'll be interesting to see like how that provides a little bit of time savings for all of the managers that do choose to use it. In terms of your marketing, who are you marketing to right now? I know I'm a market, which is a property management company, and I'm sure that you've been dealing with a lot of us, but do you see that a lot of your intro into different potential clients is through the actual boards themselves, or are the gatekeepers like me the primary contacts for you?
It's definitely the property managers for us. And one of the reasons being, even though, personally, I really enjoy working with boards, I like being able to help them personally as well. But oftentimes when you're talking to boards, they're just going to say, well, if my property manager won't use this, that's the end of the line. Right? So you all decision makers, you're all kind of in many ways the people that the board end up deferring to on these types of decisions. And I think that there actually is a lot of trust there as far as you need to figure out how to do your work effectively. We're going to allow you to kind of figure out the tools to do that. And so definitely targeting towards the management teams and figuring out how to help those management teams wrangle all of the things that they're doing across the board today. I think that's actually one of the biggest value propositions is that ability to save time, to stay organized when you're dealing with a portfolio of buildings as well.
From your perspective, what are you seeing in the property management world? Are we back still in like 1992? Are we a little bit further in 2010? Because when I came into this business a long time ago, for the first 15 years of my career, it was so backwards. Like everybody else was moving forward in technology and property management space. Facebook, it almost felt like they were moving backwards. And I remember like when we instituted just something as simple as Dropbox, like that giving ability for the boards that we manage to see the documents that we have on, as a repository on their own computer, like that alone, I could have sold my business, you know, to potential clients on. And I think that as people are aging downward on the boards, or maybe it's just that I'm aging upwards and they feel like they're aging downwards. I think that's, you know, as
but you're we not talking, aging at all. Time is standing still.
Time, if my hair is not telling that story. But I'm completely bald at this point and I'm turning gray. So, but when I started, I was fresh faced and I had hopes and dreams, but we've come a long way. Are you finding that it's more of an industry that you have to coach to come up to the present, or are we meeting you there? What are you feeling about that?
It's a little bit of a mixed bag. I think that inertia is definitely an uphill battle to fight, right? There is just we've been doing it for this way for a while.
Yeah.
If it ain't broke, why try to fix it, right? That kind of feeling, I think. And I think that the other part of it is, you know, we're talking about teams as well that have their own individual workflows. And so it's not just getting, for instance, you, Mark, on board. It's also getting the property managers that are in, you know, right, in the field using it on board as well. And that's a change for them as well. So I think we've found some of that. I think the thing that we're seeing more so, though, is that the pandemic really changed a lot of attitudes towards technology. It just forced adoption of technology that exists before, right? Here we are on Zoom. I don't know how many people had Zoom downloaded on their computer, but now it's the standard, right?
It is.
And so that, I think it's really, it's, if anything, you know, they say in business, timing is everything. And I think this is the right time. This is the moment where people are across the board really accepting and acknowledging the benefits of technology. And so, you know, they've seen it firsthand, and where else can that be applied in your business?
Yeah.
So the other part of it is, you know, just in this economic environment as well, anything that has an efficiency play, anything that can make you more productive, that can help you save time, save resources, right, on things. Those are things that from a business perspective, you just need to be thinking about how to implement that. You just can't keep doing it the way that you were before. The margins are just simply not there for the businesses in these times. And so we are finding that that is something that a lot of business owners are thinking about as well, is just how do I essentially do more with less? On my teams, right? And how do I take the same team that I have and serve a larger population of people with the same quality of service and as well?
Yeah, we have that problem too. You know, our workload is probably twice what it was a few years ago. It's, you know, in the property manager space, the city is demanding a whole lot of different compliance efforts, and all of those efforts lead to time. From my perspective, it's hard to convince a client to pay more for work that's needed. Yeah, you know, so we're being hit with do this, do that every day, when it wasn't necessarily in the original scope of our agreements, but it's just more that we have to track. And the internal conversation is always, how could we, I don't know if I would say automate, but how could we more efficiently handle everything that's being thrown at us with either the same team? I mean, we're constantly hiring, so we're probably,
which is hard as well.
It's two steps forward, four steps back every time. You know, the way that our space works, you're digital, that's great, but you still need people to support code and all those things. But I think if you added on like a server load's worth of clients, maybe that's not as disruptive as if I picked up four new buildings, because now I need to hire potentially two more people. So I'm almost underwater if I don't plan accordingly, because I'm spending more than I'm bringing in. And that's like, that's the problem with with property management. And you'll also find that there's a big consolidation of management companies. I mean, it's been happening for 20 years, but now, especially as people are aging out of this, you know, the people when I was starting in my 20s that were in their 40s and 50s owning businesses in my space for the last 20, 30 years, they're at the point where they want to retire. So it's either they're retiring and they're selling, or the little mom and pops can't handle it because there's too much going on. And it really takes a full effort and full knowledge to really handle something the right way. Which actually brings me to another point where your service could help more on the mom and pop side too, because if you're hooking into all of these city requirements and, you know, your sprinkler testing is due this, you know, time, you have to file this by that time on the calendar. It also provides a little bit of a guidance for those smaller companies where they may not have as much experience, because there's, in New York State, there's really no, and there's no barrier to entry for a property management company other than having a New York State broker's license attached to the company, because we're collecting rent or money on behalf of an owner. And like, I have my Florida Community Association management license, which I had to do. I had to get fingerprinted. They sent it off to like the FBI. I had to do a test. I had to pass the class test. I had to pass the state test. And then I have to renew this every 2 years with continuing education. There's none of that in New York. It's like the wild, wild west. So really anybody could say that they're a property manager. Anybody could step into the industry. A lot of brokers in downtimes will step into the industry when their brokerage side slows down as a, like a means for a normal revenue stream. But if you don't know what is out there to comply with, you're going to be stepping in it. So one of your services will hook into that, because I get the alerts on the building that we're working on. I see them, they get emailed, you know, this task is due today, right? This task is due yesterday. I know that we're tracking everything just internally as a company, but for those companies that don't have that ability to do, that's going to also help to manage their portfolios more effectively.
Yeah, I think that, you know, obviously New York City is really specific as well with the volume of requirements that there are for compliance and inspections and filings and all of that. You know, so much of just, I think, any job is being organized. yeah. And that's really, really difficult to do when the laws are just changing, right? When there's new things being added, things are changing, deadlines are shifting and all of that. And so, you know, for us, you know, just being on the productivity side of things, anything that we can do to help you stay on top of things is a win for us. Plugging into the New York City, you know, New York City has, I think, one of the most robust open data systems across the US. And so we can plug in and we can see, when did you last file, for instance, a low pressure boiler inspection? Well, that inspection has to happen every single year. So I'm just going to forward date that for you to say that is next year, same time next year. Put that on your calendar, done, right? And I think there's so much of that where automation really can help with that, where it's just manual today. It's in someone's head. It's on their personal calendar. It's on a post-it. Somewhere it's in a spreadsheet. How do you take that from one place that it's static into something that's actionable that they did about? So that's a really important, I think, value for us, is just helping people stay on top of that. And I think going back to your point around just the volume of things and how that's changed, I think there's kind of two things I think about a lot, which is one, resident expectations, right? Like just the speed of communication that we have today, you know, everything is basically a message these days, and you just expect an immediate response. I think that immediacy, that sense of feedback, right, is something that has just changed overall in the industry. Like ultimately it's the services and in some ways tied to hospitality, right? Industry where you're taking care of individual people and their homes. Mm-hmm. They just expect a certain level of response time in return. And so, you know, the simple things that we can do, even just acknowledging that your task has been received, we've got it. There's somebody on top of it. It's not just a black hole somewhere, right? Just giving people that sense of, oh, okay. Like, it's not just, you know, I wrote into customer service and we're going to hear back again. Right. And I think the other part of it is the transparency to be able to show to the different members of these properties to say, look at all the things that need to happen to keep your property in good standing.
A lot of work.
There's a lot of work here. And I think what we found is that some of the board members were not familiar with all of that before. And now they can go in, like you said, they can log in and they can take a look, they can see and they go, oh, wow. Okay. There's actually a lot happening here that I wasn't aware of. And maybe I do want to increase that scope because I don't want you kind of half-assing that thing over there. I actually want that to be done in a certain way. And so it can give some leverage. And there's things that we've been talking to some of our other customers about as far as even helping to generate some sort of reporting and insights for the board members to say, for instance, you had this number of tasks that were completed in this year. They were done in this time frame, right? Giving people the sense of what was accomplished so that they understand just the level of effort that goes into maintaining a building.
a nice little year in review, I feel like, package at the end of the year would be nice. Like, if you can
The
automate
Spotify year in
some.
review, but way more boring.
Yeah.
You had one facade inspection.
Well, who would be your most listened to artist on Spotify? Who would that be? Who do you listen to the most?
Oh my gosh. Spotify has kind of ruined me. I feel like I used to listen to albums and artists, and now it's just whatever they serve up.
Okay. I'm on Apple Music. I'm not on Spotify, but I don't know if you listen to Mac Miller at all, but Mac, do you know Mac Miller, the rapper? Oh my God. Well, he passed away. He had a drug overdose, but that's 24/7 in my house on repeat. It's the best. I mean, he is amazing. That's my one big regret.
Keep you amped and pumped up every day.
Yes, and sad, because his last album was released posthumously. I know we're getting off track, but his last album was released posthumously. And I'll take 2 seconds more, and I don't want to bore anybody, but from the moment that he started when he was in high school to his last album, it's an entire shift of an artist, and you see his growth from just a rapper to one of the best musicians, hands down, that you have ever heard. And the way that he just composed and performed, and it was just so sad. But if you ever get a chance, go through Mac Miller from start to finish.
Doing
it's
it
not
today.
The same. It's not the same person, and it is the same person, but it's not the same artist. He grew, and it's just so underrated and amazing. So that's that. Oh, now back to our real estate programming. thank you for humoring me. I guess I control the tempo though, so I appreciate it. So pricing, how does your pricing work on, I guess, for buildings and also for management companies? Are they different? Like, what can we expect to see if we're reaching out to you?
Yep. I mean, pricing wise, we're trying not to rock the boat too much from what people are used to. So it's a per unit per month, schedule. For the buildings, if we're dealing with an individual building, we're gonna do it based on unit volume. And so obviously, the managers have a lot more ability to get better pricing with bulk pricing there. So essentially, we just look at unit volume and we can discount based on the list price there. We are going to be rolling out some exciting updates soon. So we just rolled out payments as part of the platform. So you can actually receive due payments, track arrears, right? We'll automate following up with folks that are overdue and all of that for you. And then we're going to be rolling out very, very shortly package notifications as well. So I think what we'll end up doing is thinking about ways to tier some of the pricing based on different type of building needs, so that there's kind of a more accessible pricing for just the core collaboration and communication component. And then there is a pricing tier that gets you kind of the whole kit and caboodle.
Right. As well. I know that we deal with supers having super. Is there any in the future way for, or maybe you haven't even thought about it, or maybe it's in the works or maybe not, but for tracking employees coming in and out of the building or signing in, you know, for payroll purposes, and then an automated report out? I think that would be great, because one of the issues that we have, especially in the buildings where they're not a on-site manager and you're dealing with it on a portfolio basis, is keeping track of the employees. Are they really there? You know, it's one thing to say you can come in and, you know, punch your key card and then you could leave. Nobody's watching. So I know that that's something that we look at from a management company for a little bit more accountability on the staffing side of things as well. I don't know if that's ever been brought up, and I'm not pitching you any services, and I don't want to put you on, you know.
No, that's it's a great call out. I think alongside that, right, there's kind of staffing management and then time tracking as well for some things, because a lot of things are also like you might be doing a special project, right, and you want to be able to bill separately for that. So that's something that I think, you know, this next quarter we're going to be thinking through a little bit more. As far as more details around how you can work with staff as well as vendors that are on site for things, and how you can keep track of what they are doing there and how much time they've spent.
How's the reception been so far to this from your clients and potential clients, I would say?
Yeah. I mean, from our existing clients, either we got very fortunate with our existing clients, or we really kind of, you know, we're finding that there is true product market fit there, and we're getting great feedback on that. So, you know, really excited about the feedback that we're getting from existing clients. With potential folks, you know, I think what's interesting is I kind of see a a dichotomy in the industry where there's those that have tech and those that do not, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's definitely a different learning curve, right? Depending on who you're talking to there, right? So if they don't have technology, it's actually about what can technology do for you? It's not even about us so much. It's just about how can you bring that into your organization in a way that you feel comfortable with that change and can really help you with your existing processes and organization? For those that do have technology, right, they've already seen the potential of it. I think they're excited about what it can do for them. And it's really about how do we solve specific pain points that you have, and how do we do so in an effective, easy to implement way. So one of the things that we really pride ourselves on is like we have basically no risk onboarding. We can do it in a couple of days. We can set up a new property, in that amount of time, and we don't charge you anything for it. So it makes it very easy to get started. I think that that's the type of thing that other folks in this space have. I've heard very protracted onboarding periods, sometimes upwards of a
Yeah.
year.
Yeah.
And tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending on the size of your organization. And so, I think the thing here that we're trying to do is building modern technology means it should fit into your, like, we should fit into your organization, not the other way
Right.
around. And that's a little bit of a mental model shift for folks as well, because I think you're just coming at it expecting there's going to be a $10,000 onboarding fee and it's going to take me
Right.
6 months. And it's like, actually, no, you could try today if you don't like it. We're also not going to lock you into a 5-year contract. Like you can leave whenever you want, right? So
Yeah.
I think it's kind of setting up a different standard for what that relationship looks like as well.
And I think I lost my train of thought, but you've worked actually with Tina Larson over at the Fullerton Group, right? You've done some stuff with her, and we've done some stuff with her as a consultant. So I know that a lot of the I'm seeing a lot of the different people who have great ideas are starting to get together. And I like that the industry is changing, I think, for the better. I also like the fact that when you're like what I would say is like the same thing with Dropbox. Like it's now it's feels so analog, even saying Dropbox, it just this feels more digital than that, even though it's all in the cloud. This is a good way for boards to have a little bit of a control over their own information, if they're moving from manager to manager or management company to management company. They, in essence, I believe, control this platform because they're paying for it. I guess it depends how the contract is written, but
Depends
I
on the
could tell you,
contract. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, from our standpoint, I believe that the building has the contract and we're overseeing that relationship. So God forbid they leave us. They go to the next company, they will have their all of their information intact, and they will have historical context for every decision that was potentially made, just as important as having their documents that we store. It's like they're working hand in hand. So from a lot of standpoints, it makes a lot of sense. And I'm interested to see how you grow. I know this is year one for you. I know that you've been working on it for longer than that, but outside there in the marketplace, it's year one. So as you said, all the things that you're working on moving forward through, like I know that it would be helpful for us to integrate it with our back office software. I don't know if our back office specifically, the software that we use has an API that could even play with that today, but in the future that might be something that's interesting. And I like the automated if you're late or if you're in arrears, if you whatever that thing is that we set up the parameter for, anything that we could automate. We were talking about saving time and people, and not that I want to get rid of anybody in my company. I love everybody that's in my company. I want to keep them happy and employed. But it may prevent us from needing to spend more on future people that maybe we can put that money somewhere better spent to grow the company in a different way. So I think you're, if it's done right, it's supporting all avenues of like a management company. And I see the value in that.
Yeah, and just one quick thing there also is like if you have people, they should be doing things that people are best suited to do, right? Which is like not repetitive administrative work. That is just, that's like soul crushing for everybody. Very few people like to do that type of work. And also that is the perfect, like to me, that's the perfect use case for technology, which is take that off of someone's plate so they can actually do the things that like a smart person should be doing, right? Problem solving, talking
Yeah.
to spend more time with your customers, right? All of those things are value adds, even if it doesn't change your hiring strategy.
Right. And I think growth comes out of enjoyment at a certain way. Like if you enjoy what you're doing and you're not labored with this, as you were saying, like the monotonous, just kind of writing letters, whatever that thing that we can automate. I think people take a lot of stock in enjoying what they're doing, and from that breeds creativity and maybe a better way forward. And that could be anyone from an office assistant all the way up to the owner of the company. You know, when you're inspired and you're enjoying it, I think you can help everybody along. So that goes a long way with that. I'm going to put all of your contact information in the description of the video. We don't need to get into that, but I'll point everybody over again to hiresuper.com. All of the information will be in the description of the video. Is there anything else you wanted to touch upon with Super or with anything else that you're seeing in the industry before we let you go?
I think just that we're really, really excited about this moment for the industry. I think that's like, I just think this is a moment where all of these things and influences are converging that are actually, you know, they're difficult moments, but they're also really good catalysts for change and improvement. You know, I think that again, that inertia, right? You can't stand still in a time like this. So I think for
Right.
folks, you know, whether that's us or other tools, I think for me, technology is not a zero-sum game. It's about how does, you know, the technology industry help this industry improve what it's doing? And I'm really excited about what's going to come.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, I don't know if you're going to be at the co-op show, the co-op expo in November. I think it's at the Javits Center this November, but I'll be
Oh, it is.
there. Yeah. So if you're there, I'll see you. We'll have a booth. And I look forward to it, but I love the product. We've been speaking probably for the better part of about a year, just in while you were ramping up, and you know, now that we're a test case of one of our clients using it. So I appreciate all the back and forth that we've had, and I know that some of the stuff that we talked about was probably along with other property managers and their input included in it. And I look forward to seeing where it goes.
Thank you so much, and thanks for all of your advice and feedback along the way. To be honest, that's gold.
It's my pleasure. And just if you're still listening and you want to get in touch with the show, just one more time, nycrealestatepodcast@gmail.com, nycrealestatepodcast@gmail.com. Love if you have any questions or if you have any topics that you would like to see covered, happy to do it. Lindsay, it's been a pleasure. We will see you again soon.
Thank you. See you
All right.
later.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you on the next episode.